5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Discovery, go at throttle up.
Discovery, Houston, press to ATO.
All right, let's do another episode of Sorry for Not Being Sorry. I wanted to start out with the reopening of schools. I know it's a hot topic, and I don't know if there's an actual game plan that has been set now, or if we are still scrambling to try to figure out the right thing to do. I'm not a parent, so I haven't been keeping up with it as much as you all have. But back in May, the reopening task force. Who came up with that name? Who did that? Come on, the task force. Welcome to Hamilton County Schools Reopening Task Force. Anyway, on Hamilton County Education's website, it looks like this was posted May the 21st. So this was just kind of a layout of possible scenarios for reopening schools. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, I agree with a lot of it. You know, like I said, I'm not a parent, so I don't have to do any of this. And I do acknowledge that there's going to be a lot of parents having a lot of hard times, regardless of how we phase schools back in. Because I'd be willing to bet that we're not just going to let the kids go back to school. And I get it, you know, these are your children. Only evil people want bad stuff to happen to kids. So, yeah, I mean, I want the kids to be safe, you know, no doubt. But maybe, just maybe, opening the schools back up and just rolling with it, maybe that's the best thing to do. I mean, I don't know. Just kind of thinking it out loud here. But let's just run through the school reopening phases that the task force posted on Hamilton County's education website. All right. Phase one, risk of spreading of COVID-19 is significant. So pretty much Hamilton County's a hot zone. The scenario for this situation would be all schools closed. HCS continued learning opportunities provided for all students, plan to support students' well-being and academic development for an extended period of time. Nightmare on earth for parents. Kids are home all day, every day again. And I don't say that in the sense of you don't enjoy being with your children. I'm saying it in the sense that there's a lot of families in Hamilton County where both parents work full-time jobs. Some don't, a lot do. That is going to be very, very tough on those families and single parents. It's going to be hard. So, I don't know. To me, that's worst case scenario. So let's look at phase two. Risk of spreading COVID-19 is moderate. A little better. We're not such a hot zone. The scenario, possible reduced on-campus school hours with focus on core curriculum classes. Can't believe I said that without stumbling. Blended HCS continued learning provided portion of curriculum taught through remote learning. Not as bad, but again, this is going to affect the parents more than anything. As far as the actual plan of phase one and two, it makes sense. I mean, it's just going to be very difficult for a lot of parents, and that's really who I feel for right now reading through this. So, phase two, little bit of school, staying at home still. I wonder if that was real, if they would look at, you know, doing like Tuesday, Thursday at school, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday at school, or if it's going to be like Monday through Friday, so many hours a day, rotating kids around, stuff like that. But again, the only burden that I'm seeing so far is going to be placed on the parents. And again, I'm not saying that the parents don't want to be with their kids, but they got to work. They got to provide for their family. So let's go to phase three. Risk of spreading COVID-19 is minimal. We are absolutely not a hotspot. And phase three, the scenario, all schools open with majority of curriculum delivered on campus. Short-term closure procedures implemented for COVID-19 affected buildings and HCS continued learning practices are provided. All right. Again, sounds good. We've got a procedure in place in case a school has probably one person infected. They're probably going to shut the building down. I don't think that they should do that, but just my opinion. But yeah, I mean, phase three sounds great. Kids are getting to go back to school. They're getting to socialize. You know, county's got a plan in effect if a COVID-19 case happens. So yeah, phase three looks good. Phase four, no risk of community transmission of COVID-19. Excellent. And of course, as you would think, it would be the scenario, all schools open, monitor and be prepared to react to identification of COVID-19 positive that affects staff members or students. So yeah, that's, we're back on track. We're back to normal living. So, I mean, I know this is just a mock phase in. It's really not that bad of a plan, to be honest with you. But I have to look at this with the reality of things that are unfolding day to day right now. And what I mean about that is the stuff that I talked about a couple of episodes ago. You know, it's scenarios we got to look at, such as 33 hospitals in Florida were caught fudging their numbers, claiming that they had 98% increase in positive tests, when in reality it was 9.8. 33 hospitals in Florida did that. We also talked about, no matter what you die from, if you test positive for COVID, you died from COVID. That will be on your death certificate. You know, an example of that, unfortunately, a young man lost his life due to a pretty bad motorcycle wreck. And I'll just say my prayers are with his family and friends. It's very sad news. But the young man died from injuries from his motorcycle wreck. He tested positive for COVID-19. They put cause of death COVID-19. This is going on all over the country. So that puts us in a position of, how do we know how accurate the numbers are? Let's look at the CDC shipping out contaminated tests. They already had COVID-19 on them. They all tested positive. Or how about these groups of nurses and doctors that have been coming together throughout the quote-unquote pandemic, where they're taking clean, never-used tests, sending them in, and they come back all positive. So how do we come to an accurate number? Because, I mean, in my opinion, right now, we're not even in the ballpark. You know, like, let's look at Hamilton County, Tennessee. If you go to Google, put in COVID-19, click on statistics, in Hamilton County, there are 4,360 confirmed cases and 40 deaths. How do we know that that's accurate? We don't. So, let's look at the school reopening situation from this side of it, where we're looking at it like, okay, we have no idea how many people have actually died from COVID-19, but apparently it's a lot lower than what we're being told. I mean, what if Hamilton County only had 5 deaths from COVID-19? Would you feel better about sending your kid back to school? Sure you would. ...4,360 confirmed cases. What if that number was 2,000? It's a little more comforting. But see, that's not what we're not questioning anything. We're going with the numbers that are being given to us, and we're not listening to the information that's coming out. You know, look at Texas. Mainstream media was going on and on about how hospitals across Texas are filling up with COVID-19 patients. Doctors came out and said, no. We're having a rise in our census because all the people that had to postpone their elective surgeries are now able to come in and have surgery. So yeah, we've had a rise in hospitalizations, but it's people here recovering from elective surgery, not COVID-19. So there again, what numbers are we going by? And how sick do you got to be to go along with giving people the cause of death, COVID-19, when you know that you're lying? So, I mean, what do we do? What do we do with the kids? Keep them locked up in our houses forever? Or open the doors and let's go for it. Not an easy decision to make. I understand. You know, let's look at statewide. Confirmed cases in the state of Tennessee right now, 77,944. Deaths, 838. What if that 77,000 was more like 7,000? Or the deaths were more like 30? 15? See how the fear comes down a little bit? I mean, almost 78,000 people supposedly have COVID-19 in the state of Tennessee. That's scary. But when you drop it down, the possibility of 8,000 kind of gives you that, whew, okay, a little better. And I guarantee it would give you a different outcome on what you would feel or how you would feel about sending your child back to school. But see, we don't know. That's the scary part for me, is we don't know the truth. You know, let's go by the numbers for Hamilton County again. 2019 census, we were roughly at about 398,000 people in Hamilton County. 40 deaths. That's, I don't know, somewhere around 1.30. It's not even 1.5%. 4,360 people confirmed cases out of 398,000. Like I said, I don't have the answer to what to do about sending the kids back to school. But if I had to give an honest opinion right here, right now, my opinion would be open the schools, send the kids back. Because I don't think it's as dangerous as we're being told. And like I said, that's just my opinion. All right, let's move on to another subject for a few minutes. I talked about this. I think I've mentioned it in every episode so far. But there is an article over on thedailywire.com, and it is talking about the McCloskeys, the family in St. Louis that stood on their property with an AR-15 and a pistol, defending their home, defending their family. They did not fire their weapons. They did not point them in an aggressive way. They stood on their property holding their weapons and telling the crowd, "You're on private property. You need to leave. This is private property. Leave." Well, on the Daily Wire, there is an article, and the headline reads, "Missouri AG files to dismiss charges against McCloskeys." And I quote, "I won't stand by while Missouri law is being ignored." Just from the headline, kudos to the Attorney General. I'm going to read you a little bit of this article. If you'd like to read the whole thing, please go to thedailywire.com and check it out. It says, "On Monday, following the news that St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, the city's top prosecutor, announced that Mark and Patricia McCloskey, the couple who pointed guns at a crowd in front of their home, would be charged with felony unlawful use of a weapon." Stop there. Did he not watch the video footage? Felony unlawful use of a weapon? That would be me walking up to a complete stranger, pointing a pistol at their face, and telling them that if they don't do what I say or whatever, that I'm going to blow their brains out. That is felony unlawful use of a weapon. Going into a gas station, pointing a weapon at the clerk, and demanding for their money. That is felony unlawful use of a weapon. Standing on private property that you own, defending that property that you own, defending your family, is not felony unlawful use of a weapon. It is your constitutional right to do so. So see how this attorney flipped it around to where two private citizens on private property did a 100% lawful act. He turns it around and wants to charge them with felony unlawful use of a weapon. That's horrible. Let's continue reading. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt filed a brief that would dismiss the charges. The brief stated that Schmidt respectfully requests that the court dismiss this case at the earlier possible opportunity. The right to keep and bear arms is given the highest level of protection in our Constitution and our laws, including the Castle Doctrine, which provides broad rights to Missourians who are protecting their property and lives from those who wish to do them harm. Thank goodness somebody in Missouri within the justice system has common sense and is actually protecting someone for exercising their constitutional right. But remember, the media was the one that was turning you against this husband and wife, making comments such as what appears to be an assault rifle. And the circuit attorney, Kim Gardner, wanted to charge this family with felony charges. Felony unlawful use of a weapon. That is sad. That is someone going off their feelings and ignoring law. I'm glad he's not in Tennessee. How did we get to this point with this situation? You have a crowd of people tear through a gate and enter private property. They broke the law. But yet, the husband and wife that exercised their constitutional right to protect their home, we're looking at felony charges. That is sick. I can't believe that this garbage of an attorney would actually try to go through with that. And my hat's off to Attorney General Eric Schmidt for standing up for the Constitution. Now, like I said, if you would like to read the rest of that story, please go to thedailywire.com, and it is one of the headlines, not hard to find, but now we know that husband and wife, they're okay, they're good, they're not being charged with felony crimes. I really can't believe that they were willing to go that far. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. We now have a Facebook page up, so be sure to visit us on Facebook. Sorry for not being sorry. Give us a share, follow, all that good stuff. And we are also on iTunes now. So if you would rather check us out on iTunes instead of Podomatic, now you have that choice. All right. If you want to hit me up, please feel free at sorryfornotbeingsorry77@gmail.com. And again, you can find us on Facebook. So until next time, I hope that you are all well. Thanks.